Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. This is your host, Jonathan Marbera. And before we get into the episode, I wanted to kind of go over the structure of an Investor's Journey podcast because I had somebody recently ask me this question and I was like, maybe there's more people wondering this. So there's pretty much, it breaks down into two formats. You're going to see episodes and then just regular shows, right? So the episodes, like right now, I'm about to do episode 21. They're more specific. They're more of a strategy, right? It's something that we use in our business or we've done. So it's something more actionable that you can do yourself. It's not something vague. It's kind of like a teaching episode of sorts, right? So it's going to be something that we do, that we've implemented, and it's an actual strategy for you to implement in your business. In your business. The other episodes are just more random, just overall type of education on real estate, on stuff that we're doing, on stuff that we're seeing. So that's kind of how the breakdown goes. So when you see an episode, it's actually something that we're teaching. It's actionable things that you're going to be learning in that show. The other ones are just more general information, things that we're seeing in the market, etc. So just to clarify that up. Now, let's get into the episode. Episode 21, we're actually going to talk about when to walk away from a deal. When to walk away from a deal. Now, I know many of you right now are like, I don't want to hear this shit. And you want to turn it off, right? Because you never want to walk away from a deal. Why should you walk away from a deal? But the truth is, it will benefit you. If you learn about when you should walk away, it's going to make you a savvier investor. It's going to make you a better wholesaler. It really will help you. Because not every deal is an actual deal, right? Not every property that you go to or every property that you get access to means that you should buy it or do a wholesaler or do anything with. We've walked away from a lot of deals. So, and we're still in business, surprisingly. So it does work, and it's something that I do want to cover here. So first things first, what's one of the biggest reasons most people are not walking away from a deal is that fear of missing out, right? You have that fear that, how the hell can I walk away from a deal? I have no money. I'm broke. I need this deal. I need this paycheck. Whatever it is, I need to make money. And I completely understand where you're coming from because I was there too. When I started wholesaling, I was dead broke. I had no credit and no money. Like when gurus always talk about no money down investing, I actually started that way. It's just, it's not as easy as they make it seem. You know, you got to actually put in a shit ton of work in order to make it work. But I was struggling. I was really hurting for money. And even still, I walked away from deals. Because you need to understand what the overall goal of your business is going to be and how valuable your time needs to be. Right? So that fear of missing out, you got to get rid of it. I mean, for anybody that's been in real estate for more than a year, look back to that, you know, when you started a year or two, 3 years ago, and those deals that you thought, man, I can't walk away from this, blah, blah, blah. And look at what it is today. You're still finding deals. You understand? There's still good deals out there. Like, that wasn't the last good deal that's ever going to exist in the world. You understand? There's going to be more good deals. The market shifts. People's buying criteria shift. Everything improves and modifies and changes. So what was a good deal 2 years ago is a shitty deal today, but what was a shitty deal 2 years ago is a good deal today. And I've seen that. I've seen when I started here in San Antonio 5 years ago, we were getting wholesale deals. We were getting subject to deals. Zero money down. $400 or $500 cash flow. Nothing to the property, just take over the payment and you're good to go. With like loans at like stupid low interest, you know, and 12, 13 years into a loan. Which, for those of you that don't know, if you get a subject too long with over 10 years of seasoning, that's a good loan to take over. But I had these deals, and I could not wholesale them to anybody. People would look at it like, no, you know, it's not enough cash flow, or no, it's not enough this. And right now, I have people paying out the ass for deals like this. It's insane. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm going, is stop having that fear of missing out. Instead, learn why it's not a good deal, why you should walk away from them. So let's cover the numbers part. You should always walk away from a deal when the numbers don't make sense. Now, I know many of you right now are probably rolling your eyes because it's something that I would do. It's like, no shit, Sherlock. But it's when you're in it, when you're talking to your deal, and you're looking at your lead that you've been busting your ass to get, and you start kind of like being a motivated buyer, which is something that you never want to become. You should hate wanting to be a motivated buyer. The same way, like, I would hate being compared to, you know, these wholesale companies that are out here, you know, these big companies that we all know about. I call them NetWestern because they're all the same shit. But like, the way I would hate to be compared to that, you should hate to be compared to a motivated buyer. Because all that means is that you're uneducated, that you're desperate, and you're desperate to lose money. So do not be a motivated buyer, ever. If you ever find yourself in that position, that you're really motivated after a deal, you need to, like, relax, take a step back, and maybe get somebody else's opinion on that deal. So you can understand whether you are being emotional or logical. Don't get me wrong. There's great deals out there that you will be a motivated buyer for. We've done it, but they've been killer freaking deals, right? But you got to understand the difference. So the numbers need to work. And I see this a lot more with wholesalers. We are in a market right now where you can wholesale virtually anything, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if the numbers don't add up, you can still wholesale it and make your 5, 10, 15 grand for it. Because you can always find some dumb investor or new investor out there that does not know what they're doing. And yes, you are taking advantage of them. Don't, you know, I know in one of my talks I always say don't think for your investor, but you know when you're selling them a piece of shit deal. You understand? You know when it's a shitty deal that you won't bring to the actual savvy investors because you know they're going to laugh you out the room, but you're still wholesaling it. You know that's a shit deal. You understand? And what you're doing there is, and you're not seeing it, but you're screwing up your reputation. You're screwing up your name, and you're screwing up any future business that you can possibly get from these people or their friends. I did an episode a while back that I said the struggle of the wholesaler, and I'll put it in the show notes. But in that episode, I covered that in more details. Is that you never know where your next private money lender, where your next business partner is going to come from, you know, and we've gotten some great money lenders from turning people away from deals or turning down deals from these people, right? Where they've understood and appreciated our knowledge and our responsibility. And that is your responsibility. I understand you're hurting and I understand you need the money. But if the numbers don't work, walk away. You understand? Now, to me, if the person's motivated, the numbers are always going to work because there's always a strategy I can implement. Even if the house is negative, right? I can do a short sell. I can even refer it. We have short sell companies here in San Antonio and in Texas that you can actually refer a short sell to. And they will do the whole process of a short sale and you tell them, hey, I want to submit that first offer because I actually do want the property. You understand? And you can do that. You know, so every deal, as long as the seller is motivated, you can make it work. The thing is that you can't make it work as a wholesale sometimes. You understand? Sometimes you get a deal that the numbers are too tight, they're too high, but the person is still going into foreclosure. They're going to lose their house. That's really the only time you really want to do a short sale is when somebody's about to lose their house, because that's part of the short sale process, is that there needs to be the stress and all this other crap. So you want to make sure that if they're going to lose their house, but they need to sell and you know that there's value there, you can do a short sell. You can make the deal actually work. But don't get a deal that's, let's say, 90% of ARV, you know, and it still needs 20 grand of repairs, and you're still trying to wholesale it for $10,000 wholesale fee. Where if any investor buys it, they're going to be negative 15, 20 grand on the property. That's insane. That makes no sense. Don't do those things. The numbers don't work. You understand? You gotta look at it. Now, that's from a wholesaler's point of view. But then you have it from a landlord's point of view too. I've seen this. Where people are just looking to pick up rentals. And they're looking at the numbers, but they're looking at the wrong numbers. They're looking at, you know, gross cash flow. Gross cash flow is the wrong thing you should be focusing on. You need to literally look at your expenses. You know, and some of you are a little more conservative than others, but there's some of you that you don't even know what your expenses are. You understand? You don't know what you should be putting away for vacancies, for, you know, CapEx, for property manager. You need to know those numbers. You need to know the numbers of when you're going to refinance. You know, if you're going to finance, what your financing fees are going to be. You understand? Like, all of these things you got to factor in. And a lot of you are not doing that. You're not looking at those numbers. You're just looking at gross. And then you look at gross and it says, you know, $300 cash flow gross. I would never do a deal like that. You understand? Because when you look at $300 cash flow from what they're selling it to you for, like, man, that's not good. You understand? Because any fees, anything like that, could just, once you start adding for that net cash flow, you're going to be sitting like really freaking low. You understand? And that's going to really hurt you. So if the numbers don't make sense, don't get into it. There's always another deal. Believe me, there's always another deal. But what there's not going to be is your reputation or your money. If you spend it on the wrong deal and you waste it on the wrong deal, you're not going to have that for when the good deals come about. And I always tell that to all of our investors. I tell them, like, if you want to buy properties, that's great. Just be patient. Have some patience, because this shit is, it does work. You understand? There's great deals. There's times that I tell people, be patient, and the following week we get a killer deal. And there's some times that it takes 3, 4, 5, 6 months to get a killer deal. You understand? But it does happen. And when that happens, you got yourself a killer deal. You understand? So patience is key. Now, motivation. The homeowner, for you wholesalers or people sourcing your leads, guys, the homeowner needs to be motivated. This is not a kind of business. The way to pretty much break this down so it makes a little more sense is that I gave that baseball analogy before, is that you need to be at bat as much as possible. You understand? You need to have more people at bat. You can't be getting too many outs, because then you're not at bat anymore. So you got to get at bat as much as you possibly can. And if you're wasting days, hours with an annoying ass, unmotivated seller, you're losing chances of being at bat with other deals. And that we've taken into consideration plenty of times. There's been a seller that we already did a deal with them, that we bought one of their house, and they called us for their sister's house, and we had to deal with the same seller in order to get this done. And we're like, nope. And she's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I ran the numbers. And don't get me wrong. One thing that we always look at is we try to factor in the PETA factor. Now, for those of you that don't know, the PETA factor is the pain in the ass factor. Okay, so what I mean by the pain in the ass factor is the deal needs to be really freaking good for me to be willing to deal with that seller. You understand? Because what I know is going to happen is that seller is going to absorb so much of my energy and so much of my time to get that deal done. And if I'm going to get that deal done for 5 grand, even 10 grand, for us in our moment, it's just not worth it. You understand? Maybe myself 4 years ago would have done it. You know, maybe 4 years ago, that my PETA factor would have been more closer to $1,000, $2,000, right? Right now, it's a little higher because I can get more deals done and I can do more things. But you got to have that factor where it's like, at what point does this deal just not make sense? You understand? And you're like, yes, the numbers make sense and everything. And I can wholesale it for $1,000 or $2,000. And yes, wholesalers, it's okay to wholesale a deal for $1,000. Okay. You don't have to wholesale for $5,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 every single time. Money is money. Monetizing on a lead is monetizing on the lead. But that being said, if you're spending a ridiculous amount of time to make $1,000, trust me, you're losing more money. You're actually negative on those deals because that amount of time that you just spent on that one deal chasing that $1,000 is time that you did not spend chasing down other deals that maybe could have made you $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, even $45,000. Our biggest wholesale fee to this day was it was like a $45,000, $50,000 wholesale that we did. It was almost the easiest deal we've ever done. You understand? And the reason we were able to get that done is because of that PETA factor, is that we turn away pain in the ass people to chase down the people that are easier to work with. You understand? And when we look at these pain in the ass people and we look at the potential profit and it's under 10 grand, a lot of times, even a great thing if you want to still monetize on it, what we do is we refer it out. I know wholesalers that have absolutely nothing going on in their lives right now. You understand? There are people that, and the reason for this is, frankly, they're just lazy. They don't want a door knock. They don't want a cold call. They don't want to do anything. They want the deals to fall on their lap. But they're willing to put in the legwork once the deal does fall on their lap. So on a deal like that, I would refer to one of these wholesalers and be like, here you go. Make it work. Get it on the contract. Get it done. We'll handle the back end and we'll split the deal with you. You understand? We'll give you 50% for just dealing with that lady or with that man. I mean, kind of gave it away. But yeah, she was a pain in the ass. But we will split it with them. Be like, you go ahead and you chase it down, do all that legwork, be the pain in the ass, you know, deal with her, and we'll get it closed, we'll get the buyers, we'll get everything done to wholesale it, we'll handle the title, we'll handle all that, and we'll split that 50-50, right? We brought the deal, we're doing, but they're putting up with that shit that we would have not put up with. And then when the deal monetizes, great, we just made some money. Does that make sense? So these are the times when you really want to look at walking away from a deal. The deal, just the numbers don't make sense. You know, the motivation is not there. The person's not really motivated to sell. They're more of the, we also deal with this on the retail basis where we have sometimes, we don't list too many houses because that's not the space that we're in. But there's times that, you know, you get a house for $300,000 to $400,000. It's a decent listing at that point, right? The commission check is going to be better. So we'll deal with it. But when we have a house that's worth, which we've had, a house that's worth maybe $270, $280, and the homeowner tells me, I want to sell it for $340, you know, we're like, well, that's not going to happen. There's more than enough comps to prove the $270, $280. There's no way in hell your house is worth $340. You know, and that's the point where you got to get into the education space and educate them. But a lot of times, usually what their argument is, well, my neighbor down the street sold their house for $300 and my house is a lot nicer. And it's like, yeah, but their house is also 1,000 square feet bigger. So it's like, you know, not that exaggerated amount of square feet, but you get what I'm saying. Like, it's always a property that's way the fuck off from theirs. Like, it's just, no, it's not apples to apples here. You understand? And they want to, and then they factor in their emotional price. That, you know, I've lived here since my grandfather and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I get it. And I feel for you. But it's like, none of that shit matters. I'm sorry. You know, nobody's going to pay an extra $40,000 because you're sentimental. Like, it's just not going to happen. Right? So deals like that, we would walk away from. And how we walk away, we always refer them out. Because there's always somebody out there. And we are complete disclosure when we've, like, look. This person is delusional. They want to sell for this. But, you know, if you want to chase it down, if you want to put in some work, go right ahead. Here's your lead. You know what I mean? If you get it closed, if you get it listed and sold, whatever, they kick us back a percentage. So that's what we do with the pain in the ass deals, with the deals that we should walk away. And then the ones that the numbers don't work, we get a lot of wholesalers that bring us deals. So for you flippers out there that you're struggling, you need to get that next deal. And I see this a lot with flippers that have access to money. So flippers that have access to easy money, they tend to want to flip anything just to keep that money deployed. And I understand that. I completely understand that, because we've done that in the past, where once you get your money lenders, what they want is to keep their money constantly working, right? So they don't want you to do a flip, you know, have their money for, let's say, 4 or 6 months, whatever it is. And then once the flip is done, it takes another 4 or 6 months before you do your next one. Because what's going to happen, majority of the time, that investor is going to go to another, that lender is going to go to another investor. And then when you do need the money, they may be tapped out. So I get it. I understand why sometimes you want to just do a deal. But what you don't want to do is lose money. You don't want to lose money just to do a deal. Because now, if you don't have the deep enough pockets to lose the money and still make your lender whole with interest, with everything, you will lose that lender and you will lose that reputation for sure. You understand? Where I'd rather not borrow the money and take that risk of them going somewhere else and I'll catch them on the next one, then using them again on a deal that now we both lost money. I lost the chance to make money and they actually lost money. You understand? Like, that's never good. And I see a lot of you doing this. I see a lot of, because I'm starting to see even hard money lenders are starting to come to us bringing us deals because they're like, hey, we had to foreclose on this investor. You understand? And it's insane, because hard money lenders, for those of you hard money lenders out there, you should know better. I mean, you're being ridiculous. You know, you guys are just trying to lend to anybody and you're not doing the due diligence. When I started, using a hard money lender was so valuable, because using a hard money lender, when I started, they will analyze the deal for you. They would actually send somebody there that knew their shit, and they will say, no, you're off on the repairs. You're off on the ARV. You have contingencies for that, contingencies for this. You understand? They don't have any of those things. So that's what blows my mind, is that because of that, now what I'm starting to see with a lot of hard money lenders is that they don't give a damn. They'll lend to anybody. If you're willing to pay their ridiculous fees, they'll lend to you. And that's an issue. You understand? Like, that's not good. And that's what's happening, is I'm seeing a lot of people that have easy access to money buying stupid deals. And they're getting into trouble. And then they're actually screwing up the neighborhoods because they're trying to push up all these values, all these numbers. Houses don't sell. They sit on the market longer and it hurts the neighborhood. Because then people are like, ah, I don't know, this house isn't selling, blah, blah, blah. And they don't realize that's because they extremely overpriced that home. There's a house, actually, that I was taking a look at here in San Antonio, in Alamo Heights. And it was just in this little pocket that was so weird, right? And it was close enough to a neighborhood where you can, it was part of the same neighborhood, but it was just on the other side of this major road. So I'm looking at the property and the seller's motivated and everything, and we're looking at the comps, and my business partner, he's like, man, the comps are like, you know, 220 to 230. I was like, I don't see that though, because when you look at the other the side of the street where they're on, I was like, nothing has sold for like more than 170. You know, he's like, yeah, but it's part of the same subdivision. I was like, I get it, but there's a reason why. Why is it that these houses aren't selling for the same price that the houses across the street are selling for? Even though it's the same subdivision, same year build, same types of house. Why is it not selling that way? Right now, I could have just gone ahead and used those comps and bought it, which is what I saw another investor do a street away from us. But I was like, I'm just not comfortable. It doesn't make sense. And we needed the deal at the time. We really did need the flip at the time. But it just didn't make sense. So we didn't chase it down. But instead, I started following that other investor that was flipping that property a block away. So that investor's property right now is on the market. It's been on the market for, I don't know, 80 days. They listed it for that 220, 230 price point, and it's just not selling. That shit is just not moving. The houses in those areas are selling 12 to 20 days. And this house has been on the market for 80 days and it's not selling. You understand? So I was like, there's something there. And after doing some research, I realized that it's actually in a flood zone. It's in a floodplain. So, and it's in a high-risk floodplain. So that is a huge issue. That alone is a big problem. But that's something that if I was a motivated buyer and hungry, I wouldn't have seen. I wouldn't have taken the time to analyze that. I just would have pulled what everybody normally pulls, looked at the comp, said, yep, that makes sense, and go ahead and bought it. And when I did a little more digging, I realized that this investor had bought this deal from one of the NetWestern companies out here. And I was like, that makes perfect sense why you're getting screwed over. They can't even do a price drop on the property because they're so in over their head. You understand? So it's like, guys, don't be a motivated buyer. Don't have a fear of missing out. Understand when it's okay to walk from a deal, especially when you need it. I know it takes discipline and I know it hurts and it sucks. I get it. I was there. I did it too. I know it sucks, but it's the only way for you to actually succeed. If the deal sucks, you're never going to make money. Stop trying to make it make sense in your head. It's not going to happen. The deal just sucks. Accept it and move on. Okay? So that's it. That's episode 21. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you got some value out of it. This is all stuff, like I said before. This is stuff that we've done. This is stuff that we're doing. You understand? This is real life knowledge, real life strategies from what's happening and working in today's market. You understand? This is not something that we did years ago. We're doing it today. We're learning all the shit now. So I hope you guys are getting real value out of this. If you are, review us, rate us, share us, tell your friends, help us out to get some more awareness out there so we can help more people. And I will catch you on the next episode.